are some forums being held in communities statewide on the problem of human trafficking. And recent newspaper headlines are warning that the problem is spreading, affecting both rural and urban parts of the state. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, June 10th. According to the Wisconsin Office of Justice Assistance, human trafficking has occurred in more than half of Wisconsin's 72 counties. We will discuss the problem during this first half hour this morning and welcome your questions for our guest, who says this is a bigger problem than most people realize. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mariana Rodriguez, the program director for YUMOS, Latina Resource Center in Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much. So how big of a problem is human trafficking in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, I think that as we started, you know, to do more awareness and trainings that are being held around the state by various groups, I think that as the word gets out in terms of how do you identify it, who are those potential victims, I think that people have done much better at identifying victims of human trafficking. And so I think that that these cases that we're hearing about, such in Appleton and Green Bay in the Milwaukee area, it really brings a great deal of light in terms of saying that in the state there is an issue of trafficking, and I think that there's much more that has to be done to try to make sure that we reach out to those very vulnerable groups who are very easily, brought into this terrible situation.
The statistics I have say 200 cases overall involving sex trafficking, but there is also 3/4 of those were sex trafficking. The others involve labor trafficking?
The labor trafficking are issues that are again, where we're able to identify workers who are often more immigrant workers that are being brought into the United States or into this state to work in the areas of agriculture, hospitality, construction, restaurants. So that's the other component of human trafficking that we often don't hear about and don't talk about because we don't really know. A lot of individuals don't have all the information to help identify some of the cases of labor trafficking. For instance, some of the cases that we're hearing about in Wisconsin are some coming from the unaccompanied minors that we all heard about that are coming into the United States, are young, often young men who are actually being brought in by drug cartels to bring drugs into this country.
How do people become trafficking victims, sex trafficking victims?
Well, it's most often what we've heard from, working with our young girls has been that they often have been, brought into this by a boyfriend or a friend. Often the boyfriend, they present themselves as these individuals who love them, who care for them, who are in need of their help, and then eventually start to lure them in letting them, start talking to them about, I need a little bit of money, and so if you can just take some pictures, or if you can just, just do this trick one time, this will help me out, and so that's a way of how often a lot of the young girls are saying that they have been brought into this. So they, don't ever really identify these men as pimps or traffickers. They really genuinely believe that this is my boyfriend and who really loves me and I really want to help him out.
Yeah. And when it comes to labor trafficking, how do people become labor trafficking victims?
So a lot of the times they, you know, the labor trafficking people are often, you know, are brought in with the promise of a job. And, you know, and they are promised that they're going to get paid very good money, that they're going to receive, you know, great benefits. And along with the job, there's going to be bonuses or there's going to be free housing. And so as they, you know, they're going to make lots of money in 1 week. And we often see some of these little flyers around the city, you know, make, you know, earn $1,000 in 1 week. Those are some of the things that really get, you know, individuals to think, wow, this is a great opportunity for me. And then they find out that once they're in, they tend to, you know, it's fraud. They start to put them in work in places where they necessarily, the job is not necessarily what they thought it was. They start doing some illegal deductions. And so, you know, so some of those ways, so some of those things are happening in terms of luring, you know, victims in the labor trafficking. Yeah.
So is there, who are the most vulnerable populations for becoming human trafficking victims?
You know, I think what happens, you know, with when it comes down to being vulnerable, often we take a look at what is happening in the lives of these individuals. Often a lot of the times when we talk about youth who are victims of trafficking are often our young girls who have often run away from home. There were some issues at home. There are problems at home. Young girls who are in the foster care system. You know, and so some of those things that we're seeing that's been a very common issue with a lot of our young girls who are very vulnerable to this. You know, also what makes young, the individuals very vulnerable to this too is that, you know, drug dependency. A lot of the times when these traffickers get them into this life, they also, get them, you know, hooked into drugs, and then that has to keep, you know, they have to keep up with this addiction, and they often stay in that. In terms of like the labor trafficking victims, you know, what we're seeing is that more the immigrant refugee populations. You know, these individuals do not really necessarily understand their rights in the United States. They don't understand. They may not have the language to actually report what is happening to them. They often fear any type of contact or interaction with law enforcement and especially immigration. So these are really interesting factors that really often keep a lot of our victims tied to these traffickers.
And what does the UMOS Latina Resource Center want to do, try to do for the victims of human trafficking?
Well, UMOS has, we've been doing this work with human trafficking for over 15 years now, and we actually also have a program in Missouri where we are working very close with the agricultural migrant farm workers. And so what we are doing is we received an award from the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and we received a Rescue and Restore grant, in which we are really, we have four big components that we want to do here in Wisconsin. One is identification of victims, and so what we're doing is we're doing a lot of on the ground outreach, and really outreaching to those vulnerable groups, like youth, men, young men, women, girls. Whether it be out in the street, whether it be in the hotels, we're also hitting a lot of the migrant farm worker camps throughout the Milwaukee metro area. So we want to be able to really bring some information to educate them what those indicators are, what are the warning signs, and what services are available for victims. We're also doing a lot of technical assistance and training. So we are training community health clinics, the first responders, people who will most likely have contact with these individuals. So teachers, social workers, doctors, nurses, emergency rooms, faith-based organizations. We are really getting out there and training them on, you know, helping them understand what is human trafficking and how to support a person who they may believe is a victim and the services that they can, a victim is eligible for. The other issue is public awareness. We're really getting out there, disseminating information, posters, brochures in restaurants, in migrant camps, out in the street, and being able to really bring out that awareness, public awareness of what is human trafficking. And then lastly, we are forming a coalition that is really very specific to the foreign-born immigrant and refugee that are here in the United States. So on a quarterly basis, various agencies from around the Milwaukee metro area, we meet to discuss the issues of trafficking and talk about, any issues and emerging issues that we need to discuss and identify.
Let me hold you there as we have news coming up, and then we'll continue our discussion on human trafficking in Wisconsin after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin. Our guest says that human trafficking is a bigger problem in the state than most people realize, affecting both rural and urban parts of the state. We're talking about why this is and what can be done about it, and we're welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our conversation prompted by a recent article in the Green Bay Press Gazette about human trafficking spreading through Wisconsin, a growing problem in the state, noting that the Wisconsin Office of Justice Assistance has documented trafficking cases in more than half of Wisconsin's 72 counties, both urban and rural, and three-quarters of these cases involved sex trafficking. One-sixth were minors. We are talking with our guest about what we can do to help these victims of human trafficking and how we can prevent human trafficking. Mariana Rodriguez is the program director for the UMOS Latina Resource Center in Milwaukee. So, Mariana, is there any way that we can prevent this from happening?
I think that prevention is definitely key in addressing the issue of human trafficking. I think that as an organization, we are in the schools, providing information, education to the youth around sex trafficking and labor trafficking. We're also working with teachers and parents. I think that being able to help parents, immediately get information when, when a parent reports that their daughter has run away, it is so important to work with that parent to try to understand, who could they possibly have left with? Who are their friends? And try to explore ways of how we can help law enforcement maybe be able to, track where this young girl may be. So educating parents about knowing who the friends are, understanding that a lot of the areas where they recruit a lot of the young girls are in malls, which often, when we talk about that, people are kind of shocked to see a mall. Well, absolutely, you see a lot of young teenagers unsupervised, and what a great place for adult men to, for these traffickers to recruit these young girls. We have, the social media pages, and so we have to be able to educate the public and parents and teachers, and youth about where the dangers of this and how to prevent that.
Yeah. So we have, for instance, when it comes to recruitment in a mall, for example, I don't know, pimp will approach young girls and befriend them. I'm your boyfriend, kind of a thing. I mean, it's not like these men are stealing the women, or are they?
No, what happens often and what we've heard from the young girls is that You know, the young girls will walk. You know, they're in the mall as a group, and they know how to identify. And they often identify the young girl who's often the one that's left in the back, the one that, you know, looks like she's got her head down. These guys know what they're looking for, and they approach them, or and start to tell them how, you know, how pretty you are and how beautiful you are, and they start to kind of befriend them in that way, and then, you know, and they make that connection. So these traffickers know exactly the characteristics of these vulnerable girls, and often it is that self-esteem issue that they can pick up very easily.
So can the general public help? Can we help identify women who might be victims of sex trafficking?
Absolutely. I think that often as we know that this is happening, and it's happening, often we think about trafficking just as street prostitution. But I think what's really important about that is that the perception of prostitution that the public holds often is that they want to be out in the street. These girls like this lifestyle. And I think that one is that the public needs to understand that when there's an issue of prostitution, we need to rethink about how we're viewing that, and that that young girl who's out in the street may be forced to be out in that street or may be forced in that hotel. I think that if we see a young girl out, who obviously is, hurt, or we see that there's a worker in the restaurant that's being yelled at or assaulted or insulted in the public, those are some of the things that, you know, that we can really look at and think, what's happening here? I think, in general, we like to say that if they ever come across a hotel or a place where they believe that there's trafficking or prostitution happening, that they can actually report it to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, Resource Center line, which they have trained individuals that can actually take the report and maybe be able to identify some resources for a victim that they might have come across.
Yeah. A listener on Twitter says, supply and demand. If we remove the demand, will this reduce the problem?
I think that that's definitely the case. I mean, this happens because, people are profiting. I think human trafficking, by far, you are recycling people. When you talk about selling drugs, you're selling drugs, exchange the goods, people use it, and then you're done. A human being, you can consistently keep, using this young woman, and not uncommon to have a young woman have to see about 40 men a day. So definitely it is an issue of demand, and that's part of that. But I think also has to do a lot with what we need to do, as society to really address some of the greater issues that really support this, and the issues of poverty, the issues of the violence that's happening in the home, and all these indicators really make our girls in our very vulnerable to this.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, what would you like our listeners to take away from this, or to remember about the problem of human trafficking in Wisconsin?
It's important to understand that that there is a significant amount of help for victims of trafficking, and that there's a very, the National Resource Center hotline is a great resource to use if anybody ever comes across a situation or believe that there's something happening, to a person, whether they're labor trafficking or sex trafficking, and that's the number 1-888-3737-888. But the other issue is that I think that we need to really, learn more about what is trafficking. And I know that our community throughout the state, many agencies are hosting, information sessions, community sessions. it's so important to get involved, because the more we know about this, the more about, you know, what we're doing in our community, the more we're able to really work together to address this issue, whether it's reporting that trafficker or assisting the victims. But and lastly, I think that our victims need a lot of services. They are in definite need of medical services, social service agents, you know, services, housing. And so we have a lot of work to do around getting more services throughout the state for our victims.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mariana Rodriguez is the program director for the UMOS Latina Resource Center in Milwaukee, speaking with us about the problem of human trafficking in Wisconsin.